an appetite.
Wanna try? just listening to Daylight from Aesop Rock off of the EP Daylight, and another request just came in by the band Scream Club. Actually, they're more like a queer hip-hop duo. This track is titled And You Belong, and it's probably one of my favorite ones out there. Thanks for tuning in to Sass and Brass. We're coming toward the end of the show. Like I said, any requests, hit me up. 415-550-0511.
Perfect blend, 'cause we go together like multivitamins or oppression to frustration, microwavable burritos to gas stations, a homeless to will work for food signs, or a lack of education to a welfare line, or unprotected sex to STDs. I relate to you, can you relate to me? In this crazy world, we got each other, but if nothing else, you got yourself. But somebody like you's probably good for my health, my own personal private slice of heaven. Depend on me and I won't leave you guessing. No stressing, only minimal drama. One day soon I'll introduce you to mama and dad, so I can show you off as the only thing that stands between me and lost. And all it cost was a nominal fee of due respect and honesty. Why would I ever want to flee from this anomaly? I wouldn't.
I'm yours, and you can do what you want with me. Honestly, pretty in your hands I am. Shake me, take me, have me, hold me. I'm yours, and you can do what you want with me. Honestly, pretty in your hands I am. Shake me, take me, have me, hold me. I'm yours, and you can do what you want with me. Honestly, pretty in your hands I am. Shake me, take me, have me, hold me.
were just listening to Slowly by Max Sledgley, probably one of the sexier tracks out there. Now, let's listen to some Charles Manson.
Your home is where you're happy. It's not where you're not free. Your home is where you can be what you are, 'cause you were just born to be. Now they'll show you their castles and diamonds for all to see, but they'll never show you that peace of mind, 'cause they don't know how to be free. So burn all your bridges, you're strong in your mind. And anywhere you might wander, you could make that your home. And as long as you got love in your heart, you'll never be alone. Just as long as you got love in your heart, you'll never be alone. No, no, no. You'll never be alone.
Thank you. Swiss my baby.
You know when you do your next single, can I be in it? Because I was well good at rapping. Like a virgin, like don't need no urging. Got me a sturgeon, gotta rock with the
merchant. Please stop.
For real.
Put my music back on.
Respect.
I thought you
need. Yes, I'm a whore. It's true. Why they say it's never enough. Allow me to eat on your behalf. She's telling me I have to give. But fuck everyone, I want to live. Who knows what to come on judgment day? Right now, step away, let me get paid.
Fuck it. That's pretty much the end of my show. Thank you so much for tuning in and all the requests. That was kind of a surprise. You're listening to Sass and Brass now on Fridays from 10 a.m. to 12 in the afternoon. It's been a fucking pleasure.
We'll be right back. Food relieves insomnia, anxiety, stress, chronic brain, depression, nausea, and can induce euphoria and stimulate appetite.
I'm gonna guess waffles.
Yo, that is incorrect.
Well, I'm excited to tell you about the new Solo Smart Drone from 3D Robotics. It's the first drone optimized for your GoPro. Get live HD video straight to your mobile screen. Solo's computers makes the cinematic automatic. Smart shots, just push play, and Solo does it all. It even follows you. Solo makes a great gift for photographers or anyone who loves the outdoors. Find Solo Smart Drone at great stores like Best Buy and Dick's Sporting Goods or online at 3drobotics.com.
From the American Museum of Natural History in New York City and beaming out across all of space and time, this is Star Talk, where science and pop culture collide.
Welcome to the Hall of the Universe of the American Museum of Natural History right here in New York City. I am your personal astrophysicist, Neil deGrasse Tyson. And tonight on Star Talk, we're featuring my interview with legendary magicians and illusionists, Penn and Teller. What you might not have known is that they are also passionate about science and skepticism. And so this conversation went everywhere to orbit those two subjects. So let's do this.
Yeah!
All right. So I've got with me my co-host, Chuck Nice.
Hey! Great to be here as usual.
Professional comedian.
Yes.
And
yes.
Smart aleck.
Well, I'm probably a professional smart aleck and comedian.
Oh, that's how that goes? Yeah. That's how you work that? That's what your teachers told
that's
you?
That's what without a doubt. Oh, God. It just took me back to so many bad memories.
So I try not to ever do this alone. I always get backup. And so tonight we have Susana Martinez-Conde. Welcome, Susana.
Thank you.
You specialize in sort of the neurology of magic, I guess. Is that is that the right way to say that?
I'm interested in the neural basis of behavior. What do we act? What do we think the way we do? And it turns out that magicians have taken some lead on neuroscientists to figure out how some things work in the brain.
But you're also a magician yourself.
Are you really?
I'm a retired magician.
What does that mean? What? No.
So I took magic classes for a year, and I'm a member of a number of magic societies, and one of them, the Magic Castle of Hollywood, requires a test, sort of like a thesis defense. You have to perform in front of a...
And you passed the test?
Barely.
Barely? What do you mean? Is it like an algebra test? How can you barely pass?
Wait, would you cut the lady only partly in half? And you couldn't, like, what do you mean barely?
I passed, but I was told in no uncertain terms that I should not quit my day job of being a scientist. That was my first and only performance.
Now, you co-authored a book called Sleights of Mind. You co-authored it with Stephen Mechnick, is that correct? In fact, why am I asking? Because I know you did that, because I actually blurbed your book.
Yeah,
and I've got the actual blurb here. Tell me if this doesn't summarize the book. I worked hard on this blurb,
okay.
Just so you know. Here it goes. Stephen and Susana persistently remind us that the human mind is a bad data-taking device. And it's this fact that enables the science of magic to exist at all.
That is awesome. He just said, you said, we are stupid.
So we're gonna be drawing deeply on your expertise for this, because we're gonna be going back and forth with many clips with Penn and Teller in my office, and we need you to help us understand, interpret, and make sense of it all. So Penn and Teller, they've had a show in Vegas for 14 years with a theater with their name on it. It's the Penn and Teller Theater. Now that's badass.
Yeah, it is.
If you're there long enough, they'd name the damn theater after you. So
And it's an awesome show.
Yeah. I saw their show here in New York on Broadway, and if you did not know, Penn is the bigger fellow and Teller is the littler fellow, but even as the littler fellow, he's still at least like 5'9 or 5'10. You think he's tiny, but Penn is like 6'6 or something. Maybe even 6'7".
It's kind of like, you know, like we're the black Penn and Teller.
No,
because people see us
some pictures, and they're like, wow, Chuck, you are a little teeny guy. I'm like, no, have you ever considered that Neil is giant?
So tell her, they've got a shtick. Teller has a background in miming, and in their magic act, Teller never speaks. He gestures what you need to know about what he's doing. And I saw the show, and he doesn't need to speak. He doesn't need to speak at all. It's working.
It's working.
And so they came to my office. We sat him down. We put a camera on Teller just in case he said something. just in case. So, but anyhow, I put him down. We put him in the chair. And as I always typically do, I ask about their background in science. Was it good? Was it bad? Non-existent? Just let me know what your deepest influences may be. So let's check it out.
I was rather good in science and rather good in and loved science. And I get to about ninth grade, and on TV, there is a fake mentalist, which is, of course, redundant, Kreskin. And he had this ESP kit, which was a game that had a little pendulum. I wanted to get that.
It was a kit you could buy.
Yeah. My little ESP kit. And it was, he was doing magic tricks, you know, I now believe, but he presented it as experiments. So I got the kit. My parents bought it for me because it was a science thing.
So just to clarify, this kit purported to test whether you have ESP.
No, it was for you to help with the testing of ESP.
Okay.
You know, this was, you know, Duke University was cited and all these other things. So I would be there getting out in my small public library, the two books we had on juggling, because I was a juggler then, and there were magic books. And next to the magic books, you know, coincidentally, was a book on mentalism, magic. And in there were tricks very similar to the tricks that he had done his experiments on TV. Now, some people might have reacted to that with a joy of being let in on a secret. I reacted to that with rage. I could not believe that an adult had lied to me. And forgive me for this. For a young child, I believed it was scientists who had lied to me. And I flew into such a rage that my parents had been ripped off and I was embarrassed in front of them and everything else, that my whole science stopped. I went from A's to failing, right there, overnight, just saying to my teachers, you scientists just lie, I'm not interested. And my hatred for scientists and magicians was unbounded. And that stayed, and I went to rock and roll.
So this is because you had the impression that because this was an experimental kit.
Because he claimed to be a scientist.
It came out of the world and the culture of science.
Yeah. And of course it doesn't. And for those
of us, messed with you.
For those of us who fight the skeptical battles, this is the nightmare we're worried about, right? What if children think that these tricks are being done by real scientists, you know? And people say, what the damage that could be done? Now, I don't believe the damage done there was that the most brilliant scientist of the 21st century, who was born in Greenfield, Massachusetts, stopped his career. I don't think there was any danger done there. But there was hurt to a child. That's very, very real. And it wasn't until I really met Amazing Randi and Teller that I realized that magic could be done morally and could be done honestly.
So you saved him.
And very, very clearly, yeah. And, you know, and then it was people just going, Pat, he wasn't a scientist. You know, that's the only sentence I needed, right?
It's like, chill out.
Yeah, well, that's the only sentence you need, right? Yeah. After you've been scammed, you need that sentence. But there was nobody in my life. I mean, my parents tried to say, no, because there's one bad guy doesn't mean Carl Sagan is lying to you, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was a hard thing for me. And I'm, you know, condensing that into a story. It, you know, it took twists and turns, but...
And I don't mean to oversimplify, but can we credit that experience for you becoming who you are today?
Well, you know,
leads me to wonder if that didn't happen.
I would certainly credit
Randi. Linebacker for New England Patriots.
Yeah, but you're not even putting on the table that I would have actually been a scientist, are you?
No, you already removed. Okay.
Linebacker. Yeah, we're trying to find something that's exactly suited to your intellectual. You might have been.
You are 6'7".
Yeah,
so I didn't pull that out of nowhere. Excuse me, I didn't.
didn't pull that out of a hat.
But, you know, so that kind of put me in, I was very much in rock and roll culture. Teller was very much in theater, intellectual culture, but not particularly in the sciences, not particularly, no. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you don't have to. You don't have to be able to play a sport to love it and cheer for it. You don't have to be funny to be a comedy fan. And you don't have to have the raw processing power to just think that science is the most important thing in the world.
Susanna, is this a common problem with people fearing magicians and scientists?
I don't think it's a common problem in kids, but it is a challenge, I can see, for some young kids to be able to tell the difference between what's legitimate science and pseudoscience.
So ultimately, this came down to intellectual honesty about your craft, about your trade. And so I went back in there and I just asked about the formality of their code of ethics. And let's find out how that came out.
The fact that you have all this unpleasant stuff built into magic, the fact that the word fool, I am fooling you, I am making you a fool, the fact that I am tricking you, to make that a pleasant, consensual relationship is a difficult thing.
I never thought about that.
But
the word fool.
I want someone.
No one wants to be called a fool.
Right.
But somehow it's okay for you to say you're fooling me.
Well, yes, but is it? I mean, you're someone. You're someone we respect tremendously. You're someone wicked smarter than us. You're going to come and sit in a theater, and we have to make a contract with you that says, you know, while you were studying astrophysics, we learned a little bit about what to do with a deck of cards. And we think we can share that's interesting, the way you can share the stuff you found is interesting. And we are going to trick you. We are going to use your mind against you, and we're going to do that in the spirit of sharing and pleasantness. That's a difficult social contract.
That is so intellectually honest. And I don't even know
other magicians,
how to think about
other
that.
Other magicians don't want to do that. I mean, we've had other magicians say, no, you have to leave open that you really have powers. But if I come to you and say, you know, we don't have any powers, but you know, Neil, there's this way of handling books and talking to people that make it look like I could read what's in your mind. Isn't that kind of nutty? Let's give it a try. All of a sudden, we're on the same side.
And I'm still impressed with that.
Yeah, sure.
Still completely, because I don't know how to do it.
Sure, you don't know how to do it. And I would like to think when you do know how to do it, you'll still be impressed.
So, Susanna, why is it that I can still be impressed by a trick, even though I know I'm being fooled, and even if maybe I even know how the trick is done, it still works? So what's up with that?
Well, just because you know about Copernicus' discoveries, as you know, it doesn't mean that you're not going to enjoy the sunset. And I think with magic, if you appreciate how magic works and how magicians, sometimes the manipulations that they do, it is, if you know about them, it's so surprising that the method works because it seems so crude. And that allows you to know both about what goes into the magic, how magicians may take months or even years to do something that takes a few minutes on stage, but also about how the human mind works, and especially as a neuroscientist, that's
especially how the human
more
mind works.
Amazing that magic does this, and it lets us know so much about what's going on in our brain, not just in the magic show, but in general in everyday life.
So while the mechanisms behind many of the tricks, magicians will never reveal them, I would expect. But you presumably can reveal how the brain works in response to those tricks. Is that right? That's not a secret. You published that.
Yes, absolutely. And, the president of the Magic Circle in London said to us, the door to magic is closed, but it's not locked. So that means that you can push a little and the door will open. And the fact is that if you want to know how any trick works, just go to YouTube and you'll find out.
Well, one of the famous tricks of all time is the catching a bullet in the mouth.
Yes.
And when we come back, we're going to find out how Penn and Teller accomplished that.
Oh, my God. I thought you said, we're going to say, when we come back, you're going to shoot Chuck in the face.
On Star Talk.
You need need a website. If you don't need one now, you're going to need one in the future. So why don't you build it yourself? I can't do that, you say. It's too hard. I don't know how to code. Well, you know what? I used to think the same thing until I found Squarespace, and then I built my own website that I'm very pleased with, I'm very proud of, and it was so easy, I still can't believe it. Squarespace is really something special. If you can drag and drop files, then you can build your own website with Squarespace. It's intuitive, it's easy to use, and there's no coding required so that you can get a site that looks professionally designed regardless of your skill level. The way it works is they have these templates already set up for you, and then you move information in and out of those templates to your own liking. And I have to tell you once again, it is super, super easy. So here's what I want you to do. Go to squarespace.com and make sure you use the offer code STARTALK to get 10% off your first purchase. That's squarespace.com, offer code STARTALK, to design and build your own website that'll look great on any device. Take it from me. I'm speaking from experience.
This is Star Talk.
From the Hayden Planetarium in New York City, where I serve as director. That's like my day job. Or shall I call it my night job?
No, your night job is superhero. We know it.
Okay. So we're featuring my interview with legendary illusionists and magicians, Penn and Teller. And I have in studio, well, Chuck is here with me, of course. And Susanna, you're a neurologist. And so you're in a position to figure out what the brain is doing in ways that other people aren't, I suppose, right?
We try.
Well, okay. There's a ringing endorsement.
No, just for example.
Neurologist, we try.
You know, there's the traditional magic trick of pulling the rabbit out of a hat, and card tricks. And generally, we think of our attention being sort of misdirected, and rather than there being an illusion. And so, Susanna, tell me about the kinds of misdirection that exist.
Well, we tend to think that what magicians do is they distract us from the things that they don't want us to see. And this is not correct. What magicians, rather than distract you, what the magicians do is they're extremely good at directing your attention to the places and the moments in time where they want you to be paying attention to. And then your brain is the magician's best accomplice, because whenever you're paying attention to something, your brain just suppresses everything else. So paying attention is not enhancing what you're paying attention to, it's blocking everything else that is not relevant.
It's quite a show. And of course, Teller doesn't speak in my interview here, nor does he speak on stage. And so I had to compliment the show that I saw. I was very impressed. And I'd seen them on TV and this, but it's gotta be in real life to really believe the illusion,
yeah.
You know, to see what's really going down. So I gave them, you know, I complimented them on their work, and let's just see their reaction. He is so good. I can talk to him.
He's wicked.
No, you are so good with your body language and your facial expressions. We all knew exactly what you were thinking and saying, or at least wanted us to think you were thinking
and
saying.
Well, Teller's fascinated with the idea of being able to lie without speaking. You know, and one of the things you learn most in magic, there's no better lie than the lie you tell yourselves. Now, in Vegas, we end the show with the bullet catch, which is a...
I've seen that done on a cruise ship.
Yeah, well...
You catch it in your teeth,
yeah,
right?
But yeah, but not... No, you don't. But that's what it looks like. But our version is a little more complex.
Right. And this
is
just to clarify, so there's a gun behind a glass,
yeah,
and the magician on the other side of the...
And the bullet is signed.
And you scratch the bullet
member,
in a way.
The audience member signs.
Right,
and it is...
Goes through the... Breaks the glass, and he recoils his head, and he pulls it out, and there it is.
And okay. It has... It's an interesting trick because at least 15 people have died on stage doing it. It's the most dangerous trick in show business, really. And we do a version that we believe is safe. We would not do it because it would be immoral to do it if it were not safe. But the bullet catch, now, if I say to you, you know, we're going to catch a bullet in our teeth, you say, no, you're not.
Yeah, of course, of course. Right, right.
So we never, yeah, ever say we're going to catch a bullet in our teeth. We say we're going to move the bullet from this side of the stage to that side of the stage using this magic wand, holding up a gun. Now, what you do is you don't give the audience a sentence that they can say no to and let them fill in the blanks. So after the show, they say that trick where you caught the bullet in your teeth is great, but I never said it. So when you say something, so when Teller doesn't speak on stage and he just allows you to make all these assumptions, he is functioning as he's fooling you with lies you're telling yourself.
This is just downright diabolical. Susanna, you're a party to this conduct. How do you sleep at night?
I'm innocent, but in my defense...
See, I think you're lying to yourself right now.
In my defense, we're all lying to ourselves and to each other all the time. Magicians just doing better. I would say that it very rarely, if ever, we get the full picture of reality. So at least in part, what we are experiencing the vast majority of the time is an illusion.
What you just said kind of has real life, very serious consequences, like when it comes to eyewitness testimony.
Oh, yeah.
So much of our legal system is based.
So much of our legal system is based, and it's the most unreliable testimony that there can be. And normally the testimony ends up with somebody who looks like me committed the crime. You know, and that's a little rough, mm-hmm, you know, which is why whenever I commit a crime, I'm just like, I'm a white lady.
You know, the biggest problem is that when you give a testimony about a crime, you have witnessed a situation in which almost by definition there was high emotional content.
Right.
You might have been angry or scared, or a lot of things were happening, and we know, and magicians know very well, that you cannot pay attention when you're experiencing a strong emotion.
Right. Now, the problem is what you're remembering is very real to you. Just like when you saw the illusion, that was very real to you.
We'll get more of that in another segment. And when we come back after the break, we'll actually take your questions on the science of illusion when we return to Star Talk.
This is Star Talk.
Magic. We're back. Star Talk from the American Museum of Natural History right here in New York City. Got Chuck Nice.
That's
got
right.
Susanna Martinez Conde, professional neuroscientist at State University of New York. Great to have you on the show to have us come to understand what the world of magic is all about. And we have the part of the program called Cosmic Queries.
Yes.
Cosmic Queries. So Chuck, you are deputized for this, where you have reached into this grab bag of questions on sort of the science of skepticism, and you have them, and it's the science of illusion, and you have them for me. I've not seen these questions.
You never do. You never get a chance
to
see the
questions. And if I don't know the answer, I'll just say I have no clue.
Still hasn't happened yet.
I will say.
Still has yet to happen.
So bring them on.
Our first query comes from Mark Miller from Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a two-parter. Mark wants to know, what would the world be like without skepticism, in your opinion? And then the second part of the two-parter is from Adam Raymer from Toronto, Ontario. And Adam wants to know, how do you know if your standard of proof is too high? How do you know if you're not being too skeptical? So what is the world without skepticism, and what is the world with too much skepticism?
Oh, that's good. So world without skepticism, we've experienced that in the history of civilization. It's called the Dark Ages.
Wow.
All right. Yes. Yes.
That is scary.
It's the Dark Ages, where no one is curious about how something works. They believe they have all the answers, and those answers are wrong. And so society does not function in any way that is enlightened
or leads to solutions to the problems that confront people. And so they live in misery, affected by problems that they cannot solve and will never solve, which makes the afterlife all that much more attractive.
True. Okay, so how about too much skepticism?
It is possible to be too skeptical. And here's a way to think about that. If you perform an experiment, you get a result, and you say, well, maybe if I perform that same experiment tomorrow, I'll get a different result. So then you perform it, but you get the same result. And to a scientist in the groove, you do this enough times, you say, I'm done, and I'm on to the next problem. Mm-hmm. But you can have a level of skepticism where you say, maybe if I did it in the next building, I'll get a different result. Let me try that. Maybe